There are no serious injuries as an A320 ditches in New York's Hudson River. The FAA shuts down an Ohio air freight company. And Teledyne Continental pushes back against the recession. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, January 16th, 2009. A former Boeing ferry and test pilot named Walt Raby told me once that when something goes wrong on an airline flight, you want people with white hair flying the airplane. U.S. Airways Flight 1549 had just departed LaGuardia for Charlotte a little after 3 p.m. Eastern Time yesterday, carrying a reported 150 passengers and a crew of five. The plane had been airborne less than 3 minutes when passengers reported hearing a loud bang, noticed the aircraft was beginning to turn, and soon after were warned by the pilot to brace for impact. That pilot was Chesley Sullenberger. Sully, as his friends call him, is a former U.S. Air Force fighter pilot, former ALPA safety chairman, and president and CEO of Safety Reliability Methods, a consulting firm that, quote, provides expert solutions to complex problems involving safety, high performance, and high reliability, unquote. He's been flying for 40 years. Witnesses on the ground said they saw the plane hit a flock of birds. CNN reports the pilot told controllers he'd suffered a double bird strike. After being cleared to return to LaGuardia, he made one more transmission asking for Teterboro instead, but ended up committing to a water landing in the Hudson River. What happened next was, fortunately, textbook. Sullenberger managed to touch down centered in the river with minimal damage to the plane. The flight attendants minimized cabin flooding by keeping the rear exits shut. The A320's wings stayed above the surface long enough to provide a place for passengers to stand while river ferry boats rushed in to help. Passengers reported everyone on board was urging one another to remain calm. A few people were reportedly plucked from the river by rescuers, but most apparently stayed mostly dry. With the ambient temperature reported about 20 degrees Fahrenheit and the river water at 35, area hospitals reported treating 4 people for hypothermia, but there were no serious injuries reported. The outcome of this accident is being described by almost everyone as miraculous, except for the general media, of course, who can't resist hyping it as a crash landing. Sully is being hailed as a hero, at least until the lawyers get started. We'll have more details as the investigation unfolds. And you can find more detail on Sully in our text coverage at aero-news.net. Aero News has confirmed the FAA has issued an emergency order of revocation against Air Tahoma of Columbus, Ohio, ordering the air cargo transport operator to surrender its operating certificate. Paul Turk, a senior public affairs official with the FAA, says the agency has charged the company with 30 safety-related violations which were, quote, systemic throughout the company, not tied to a single pilot, aircraft, or incident, unquote. The charges were outlined in a 96-page letter delivered to the company on Wednesday. Turk says the charges stem from an FAA audit following the fatal crash of an Air Tahoma plane in September of last year. The Convair 580 was returning to Rickenbacker Airport shortly after takeoff on a crew training flight when it hit terrain a mile from the runway. All 3 occupants died in that crash, which happened during the plane's first flight following a maintenance C check. According to the National Transportation Safety Board's preliminary report, that check included re-rigging of the flight control cables. Turk says the FAA audit found problems in most areas of the company's operations. The emergency order allows Air Tahoma to file an appeal. There's been no word yet, though, on whether the company will file one. Air Tahoma began operations in 1996 and flies regional cargo for FedEx, using mostly 1950s vintage Convair turboprops. Teledyne Continental Motors is aggressively pushing back against the recession, offering special pricing to help general aviation pilots keep flying. In yesterday's Aero News special feature, TCM President Rhett Ross told ANN's Jim Campbell that the company is announcing price reductions of as much as 10% on new and rebuilt engines in the face of a tight economy, and to be prepared for a more competitive climate produced by factors including Lycoming's recent purchase of Superior. In addition to the new pricing, TCM plans additional incentives for owners to install zero-timed power plants that meet new factory specs and can thus be turned around in a fraction of the average overhaul time. The official announcement of the new pricing came late yesterday evening. You can read more detail in the updated text version of the story at aero-news.net. Up next on ANN, Airbus beats Boeing handily in 2008 deliveries. October stats show a big drop in U.S. airline travel. And a Cessna pilot who hit a house now faces a lawsuit. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-Cessna.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for January 16th. I'm Paul Plack. As expected, Airbus had a strong 2008, reporting a new delivery record. The company says it put 483 aircraft in customers' hands for the year. That's 30 more than in 2007. And it included 386 A320 family aircraft, 85 A330s and 40s, and 12 A380s. Airbus did considerably better than Boeing in both sales and deliveries in 2008. Airbus won 777 net orders, valued at $100 billion U.S. at list prices. Boeing reported 662 net orders on the year and delivered just 375 aircraft. As of the end of 2008, Airbus reported a new record backlog of 3,715 aircraft, and noted it has captured 54% of the market for aircraft over 100 seats, credited in large measure to the strength of A320 sales. After years of discouraging news of delays in development of several of its new aircraft, Airbus Wednesday broke ground on the final assembly line for its A350 XWB. The factory will enclose almost 800,000 square feet and will house the wing-to-fuselage mate line, providing work for over 1,000 people when it becomes fully operational. First A350 XWB deliveries are scheduled to begin in 2013. The numbers are still rolling in for 2008, and they're mixed when it comes to the airlines. The U.S. Transportation Department's Bureau of Transportation Statistics released a report yesterday showing that domestic and international passengers on scheduled U.S. airlines during October 2008 were down 7.1% from October 2007. That makes the eighth consecutive monthly decline from the same month of the previous year. The October domestic passenger number was the lowest October since 2003, but the total for the month was partially offset by an increase in international passengers lured by a weak U.S. dollar. For the first 10 months of last year, U.S. airlines carried 3.3% fewer domestic passengers, but 2.6% more international passengers than during the same period in 2007. Southwest Airlines carried more total system and more domestic passengers in the first 10 months than any other U.S. airline, while American led in international passengers. The law firm of Baum, Hedlund, Ariste, and Goldman PC announced on Wednesday three clients have filed a personal injury lawsuit against pilot Charles Reese and Eureka International, the owner of a Cessna that crashed into their home in Compton, California on April 12th of last year. The firm asserts that Regina Hosley Wright was in her kitchen when the plane hit her home, crashing through the roof and forcing her through an outside wall and onto the neighbor's front lawn. The lawsuit claims the plaintiff, quote, was seriously injured and her health will remain at risk for the rest of her life, unquote. The suit also claims her boyfriend suffered physical injury, while her daughter, who was able to get out of the house, suffered mental distress. The suit seeks unspecified damages against Reese and Eureka, which appears to be a real estate holdings company. The NTSB preliminary report says the Cessna 310Q lost power on final approach to the Compton Airport. Reese, who holds a commercial certificate, and his passenger were also injured. The first contract to install and test a low-cost ground surveillance system intended to improve runway safety at small to medium-sized airports was recently awarded to Thales ATM by the FAA. FAA Acting Administrator Robert Sturgill commented, quote, "Sometimes the simplest ideas are the best ideas. Our goal is to get this technology to airports as quickly as possible. These low-cost systems will have a direct effect on runway incursions," unquote. Thales ATM is based in Shawnee, Kansas, and is one of several companies interested in testing a low-cost ground surveillance system that would be installed at airports too small to justify the more expensive Airport Surface Detection Equipment Model X. The FAA asked interested companies to submit proposals and will use the field testing to determine which systems will be deployed nationwide. Still ahead, United offers passengers wireless internet. The TSA is helping out the Secret Service for the inauguration. And a rare warbird suffers ignominy in New Zealand. You're listening to Aero News.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin WAAS GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're gonna fly in the soup, you gotta have an opener. Garmin WAAS GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, January 16th. I'm Paul Platt. In-flight wireless networking is quickly becoming an expectation of airline travelers. United says it will begin offering AirCell's GoGo in-flight internet service to customers on 13 of its Boeing 757s that fly transcontinental routes in the second half of this year. Customers will be able to surf the web, check email, instant message, and access corporate virtual private networks on their Wi-Fi-enabled devices. GoGo will be available in all seating classes for a flat $12.95. That's in line with rates on other airlines for flights greater than 3 hours. American, Delta, Virgin America, and Air Canada have also rolled out the service, most on a trial basis. United says it will monitor customer feedback before determining whether to extend GoGo to other mainline flights. No doubt anxious to impress the new boss, the Transportation Security Administration Wednesday announced plans to support U.S. Secret Service efforts to secure transportation systems and events surrounding the 56th presidential inauguration. TSA Administrator Kip Hawley explained, quote, "We are ready to assist the U.S. Secret Service with the important task of keeping our transportation systems and inauguration events safe. This is a valuable partnership that provides an added layer of protection to enhance the security of the American public during this historic event," unquote. TSA plans to deploy its VIPER teams, that stands for Visible Intermodal Prevention and Response, in all modes of transportation, including airport terminals, leading up to the inauguration. VIPER teams work with local law enforcement officials to supplement existing security resources by providing deterrent presence and detection capabilities and an unpredictable layer of security. More than a dozen TSA-certified explosive detection canine teams will supplement existing teams in the capital region. TSA will also provide over 300 transportation security officers from across the country to assist the Secret Service with screening participants along the parade route and at the inaugural events hosted at the Capitol. Hey, here's an irony. The Secret Service doesn't wear badges, and the TSA does. Here's a profile in frustration. A rare two-place World War II Supermarine Spitfire TR-9, reportedly one of just five left in the world, was restored in time for New Zealand's Wings Over Wairarapa event this weekend. It's one of New Zealand's largest aerial shows. Organizers had also planned to use the rare warbird in a mock attack over downtown Wellington yesterday. Unfortunately, during a test flight on Wednesday, the Dominion Post of Wellington reports the owner, aerobatic pilot Doug Brooker, couldn't get the gear down and had to make a belly landing at Hood Aerodrome in Masterton. The four-bladed prop is now toothpicks, and the rest of the plane described as severely damaged. Brooker was unhurt, but obviously disappointed. 91-year-old World War II Spitfire pilot John Patterson, who was supposed to ride along in the publicity flight yesterday, says he's relieved he wasn't in the plane when the accident happened. Would have been a bit of deja vu. Quote, "My plane got shot down once, and I was badly wounded, and I had to land the thing on its underbelly. Jolly difficult things they are to land when the wheels are up. The propeller is the poor old thing that gets chewed up. so I don't get to fly in it. It doesn't matter. I'm still going down to the show, unquote. The TR-9 was a post-war training conversion of the Spitfire Mark IX airframe. The plane sports a unique, raised second cockpit behind the main one. Think theater seating. And finally, while Doug Brooker ponders that old saying, any landing you walk away from is a good one, in California, the pilot of a Stitz SA-6B Flutterbug could coin a new variation. Any landing you can climb down from is a good one. The Santa Barbara Daily Sound reports the pilot apparently ran into engine trouble in the small experimental and made a forced landing in a large tree about 8 miles from his base at the Santa Ynez Airport. The unidentified pilot had already climbed 25 feet down to the ground by the time rescue personnel arrived. He declined medical treatment. The last we knew, the plane was still there in the tree. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, with Barack Obama's inauguration and the TSA's large aircraft security program in the headlines, we'll take another listen to my recent interview with NBAA President Ed Bolin on both those topics. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend, and have a clear and unlimited day.